Hello and welcome to the Emmy Awards. I'm your host, Emmy Cardinale, and this is my podcast where I talk about what I've been watching or rewatching once a week. If this is the first episode of mine that you stumble upon and you enjoy it, please feel free to follow me wherever you listen to podcasts. If you're listening to this on YouTube, feel free to subscribe and turn on your notifications so you can get updated when I upload a new podcast episode. If you are listening to this on YouTube, it is audio only, so if you would rather listen to it on the audio apps, but you found this on YouTube, like the video version, podcast link is below, so you can open it up on Apple Podcasts or Spotify if it's easier that way. I know not everybody, I don't personally have, like if I turn off my phone when I'm listening to a YouTube video, the YouTube video pauses, so if you also don't pay for YouTube something, I don't know anything about YouTube, but audio versions of my podcast are available on all podcasting apps. So if you are listening to this on YouTube, that is linked in the YouTube description as well. But thanks so much for tuning in. This is the finale of my Bachelor Pad season one coverage. I'm very excited. It's episodes 5 and 6 I'm covering, which are the last two episodes of season one. Before I jump straight into that, I will be honest, I have no idea what I'm covering next week because I want to cover The Sex Lives of College Girls season 3 on this podcast, but last time I covered it, when I covered season 2, I did like one big episode where I went episode by episode and shared my thoughts that way. And so that was the plan, but I will be honest, they're only releasing, I think, one episode a week. If I'm wrong, I feel like season 2, they released a few episodes at a time, so it went by faster. If they only do like one episode a week and it's over by like 8 episodes or 10 episodes, maybe if we're lucky there are 10 episodes, I don't know how many. I need to do my research because I really don't know. The Traitors comes back January 9th and I will be covering that like week by week, covering an episode. So maybe next week, I'm going to do the math and maybe instead of doing like a season 3 deep dive of Sex Lives of College Girls, maybe I'll just recap it episode by episode instead, and then next week I'll cover episodes 1 and 2, and then from there I'll cover every episode. I think if I'm not like totally wrong on my math, that should wrap up before The Traitors. I don't know, I'm gonna figure it out, and depending on what next week's episode is about, that will tell you if I've decided that I'm going to do week by week coverage or just one big deep dive at the end. But I might do week by week coverage since it seems like they're only going to release one episode a week, and that might get me to January 9th, and then maybe it'll line up really well. So I don't know. Once this episode wrapping up my Bachelor Pad coverage is done, I'm going to figure it out. I'm going to have a game plan, and next week I will have like a more set announcement. But if next week's episode is called The Sex Lives of College Girls season 3 episodes 1 through 2, then the decision is that I'm going to do week by week coverage of The Sex Lives of College Girls instead of just one big. I also, like, the thing is, if I had another show to talk about, maybe I wouldn't, like, maybe I'd wait to do the deep dive. But because I don't think I have anything else that I'm going to be watching in real time that's airing, instead of just like coming on here once a week and blabbing about like what show I'm rewatching, I prefer personally, some of my best episodes are me just like rambling about shows, but my favorite episodes, the ones I enjoy the most in terms of preparing, recording, editing, are the ones where I took notes and I'm like recapping a show and sharing my thoughts on it. So I might just do that for The Sex Lives of College Girls season 3. I think in my mind I was like, it's going to wrap up within a few weeks. But if it is genuinely like one episode a week for like 8 episodes, maybe 10 episodes, I think that'll be like the perfect thing to cover for this winter right before The Traitors comes back. So I don't know. I'll figure that out before next week. For now, I'm going to finish up my Bachelor Pad coverage. Thank you so much for tuning in. And it means a lot. I'm so excited. If you have not watched Bachelor Pad, I really do recommend it. Like, it's such a good show. If you are somebody who watches both the Bachelor franchise and Big Brother, I really, really recommend it. Like, the amount of times that I, as a Big Brother fan, am like geeking out on the similarities is so exciting, and I will obviously be talking about that. But like last episode, I talked about how they called somebody a floater. In some of these two episodes, they talked about like comp threats, not comp threats, being carried. All these things are things that come up, and I'm really excited to talk about the finale of season one. I will say there are three seasons, but I've been watching it on Hulu, and Hulu only has season one. So if I eventually want to cover seasons two and three, I need to figure out where to watch them, because I don't know where to watch it. But if you have Hulu or Disney Plus, because I think Disney Plus now, most shows, like I logged onto my Disney Plus and like a bunch of Hulu shows were there. I'm like, why am I paying for both? Anyways, I probably will stop paying for both at some point. But that's my intro. Thanks so much for tuning in. It means a lot. And let me just jump straight in to Bachelor Pad season one, episode five. So we left off with Chrissy going home and being upset that she was lied to, basically. And Wes also got sent home. It's kind of a new leaf, if you will. A lot of the gamers, the outsiders, if you will, have kind of slowly been dwindling. And it's kind of a very solid group of people who are friends who are left. Kovacs in ITMs says he's happy that Chrissy left because she was the last, but he's also a little bit upset that she's gone because she was the last annoying person they had to send off. Which is a negative, because now it's just his friends left. Tenley says, regarding the whole Chrissy thing, that you can't get mad at things. Nikki says that, Nikki kind of defends Chrissy and says that people have the right to be upset. So it's kind of an interesting conversation that's being had about who, like, if Chrissy's response was, like, justified. You know, some people are like, it's a game, she overreacted, there was no need to, like, be, like, to say that when she left. Others are like, she has the right to be upset, being sent home sucks, she put her loyalty in the wrong people. Like, I don't know. And I am in the camp that I think she had the right to be upset, and I think that her response was nothing, like, crazy or outrageous. Like, she was fine. She was fine. It wasn't anything, like, crazy or out there or, like, really that dramatic, in my opinion. She was just like, I was betrayed, and Tenley, she said Tenley, Kipton, and she said that Tenley, Kipton, and Kovacs and Elizabeth need to be sent home or they will be in the final four. I wanted to note that because now that I finished the season, I do know who's in the final four, so I wanted to see if she got that right, which I'll get to that, but I forgot who she said. Anyways, I think she's right. Anyways, Kovacs is like confused as to why Chrissy was upset. And then Dave is like, well, I did kind of tell her she wasn't going home. And then she did end up going home. Gwen is kind of feeling a little bit stressed out because she never felt like an outsider before coming to the house. And she's just been very much not in the in-group. Gwen is an interesting person in the dynamic of the game because she's from Bachelor season two. So she just, which it would be so interesting to play this again and have, like, if they brought this show back and they had people from, like, early seasons, because it is a money show, like, they could have people who are, like, married, right? Obviously, like, the being a couple and being a duo and dates that are built into the fabric of the game. But you don't have to be single and, like, pursuing love to go on the show necessarily. So it would be interesting if they, like, revamped this, they brought this back, and they had, like, a wide range of people. They had, like, former bachelors who had gotten married, like, people in relationships from, like, early seasons, from present seasons. I feel like that would be a very interesting iteration of it, because I'm sure the factions would be even more pronounced. But it's just interesting because Gwen, even in this era, the season two was like 10 years ago from when this aired. And at this point, it's been like 20 years because season one aired in like 2000, I believe. Let me double check that. Yeah, season two aired in 2002. So this had been 8 years because Bachelor Pad came out in 2010. So it had been 8 years. Most of the people were from, like, the seasons around that. Gwen was, like, the oldest one there in terms of season, not age. I'm not commenting on her age because that feels inappropriate, although that does come up later. Anyways, because something I said early on, I think in my first recap of Bachelor Pad, of my first episode talking about this, I was like, I don't think there's going to be any kind of, like, after the final rose, mental all style reunion, but there was. So I had no idea about the format of the show because I'd never seen it. And I genuinely only knew the premise that people were competing for money. I did not know, like, the intricate details, the dynamics. So I was learning a lot. There was. So there was like they brought people back, which I thought was really interesting the way they handled the finale. And I will get to that. I also at some point said, I think regarding the Chrisley exit, that like if there was a jury, this would be poor jury management. The cast does vote, like the people sent home do vote. They don't vote who wins, they vote who gets, like who the final two are. I'll get there. But a lot of interesting dynamics about like the end game and the way the show wraps up were revealed to me in these two episodes that I genuinely didn't know throughout watching this. So if I do watch season two and I do eventually cover it on this podcast, probably not soon because again, I got to figure out my scheduling in terms of the sex lives of college girls going into the Traitors because I do want to cover the Traitors in real time. So I don't know. I got to figure it out. But if I do eventually cover season two, it'll be really interesting to watch with like more knowledge on like the structure of the game because I genuinely had no idea about how you win the money. Like the end game is just different than what I thought it was going to be. Anyways, moving on. Gwen says she feels like she never felt like an outsider, but now she's felt like an outsider this whole time, and now even more so because there's a lot of couples and she is no one and she really needs to win a competition to win. Pris Harrison, then the next day after the rose ceremony, Chris Harrison gathers them all in the living room and says that everything is about to change. The imbalance of women versus men, because he said this in the first episode, that there's more women than men because there have been more seasons of The Bachelorette than there have been, or more seasons of The Bachelor than there have been seasons of The Bachelorette. And he said eventually they were going to even it off. Well, he announces that today that will finally be happening. He says three women will be leaving the Bachelor Mansion this morning in a few hours. So everybody all the women need to pack their bags in preparation. Nikki really doesn't want to leave. She's like upset. Elizabeth is stressed out as well. She doesn't want to leave Kovacs. Natalie says it's survival of the fittest. They're all kind of like, they don't know what this is going to entail. And so they're stressed out. Tanley doesn't want to go either because her relationship with Kipton has just started and she doesn't want it to be cut short. Then we find out that the guys are making the decision. So each guy will pick a woman to be his partner and they will be competing as couples going forward. Each man goes up, each man picks and they have to ask for a kiss to seal the partnership. They do spin the bottle to determine the order the men go. Kipton goes first, and he says in his ITMs that he's between Tenley, the girl he likes, and Nikki, the girl who saved him early on. Because if you remember, Kipton was kind of on the chopping block, and Nikki ended up voting for him to stay and voting against Craig, voting for Craig to go, which kind of spoiled things for Nikki. She was kind of on the outs a little bit. That was at the end of episode two. She voted to get Craig out instead of voting for Kipton. And they were kind of mad at her. But so he's kind of in between like the strategic decision of like repaying somebody who kept him in the game or like the romantic decision, Tenley, who he's in a relationship with. He ultimately chooses Tenley, which I think is fair. I honestly think if you are in a position where you do not have a romantic really like interest with any of them, but like you're a guy in the finals and you need to pick a partner, obviously I think strategy is important. But because this is a Bachelor franchise show and love is built into the fabric and relationships are built into the fabric, it is fair to assume and anticipate that your relationship dynamic and whether you are like together, the romance aspect will play a part in future competitions, in maybe on the voting of like who they decide. So I think it's smart to pick somebody that you were romantically like interested in this kind of scenario, because this isn't Big Brother. It is a Bachelor franchise show and obviously you're competing for money, but having some kind of romantic relationship in this environment is a benefit. So I don't blame him for picking Tenley. I think he made the right decision. Kovacs is next and he chooses Elizabeth. He says in his ITMs that he went with his emotions over his strategic thinking. And then Jesse B is next. Natalie in ITM says that she thinks either Dave or Jesse could pick her, but she'd rather Dave picks her. So she's hoping that Jesse doesn't pick her because Dave is going last. He was the last in the spin the bottle. So she's like, hopefully Jesse B doesn't pick me so I can be paired up with Dave. Hayden in ITM thinks her only chance is Jesse picking her. And she says she may have screwed herself by not going to the fantasy suite with him. Maybe he won't pick her because of that. But Jesse does end up asking Peyton. why did I say her name like that? He ends up asking Peyton. Davis last, he says in ITMs that he and Natalie have great chemistry, but he's thinking about it as a strategic partnership and which partnership will get him the 250K, not romance. But he does end up choosing Natalie. The emotions kind of really win out in these decisions. Nobody's really picking somebody purely based off of whether they'd be a good strategic decision. But again, I think part of what makes this show so interesting for me is that the romance is built into the strategy. And so I understand, like, the competitions, whether you have chemistry, like, that does come up. Obviously, there's been, like, kissing competitions. There's been very, like, the competitions, not all of them, but some have had to do with, like a romantic connection. So I can't really blame them for the emotions winning out because it's part of the show. Nikki, Gwen, and Ashley are the women going home, which is not really surprising. Natalie in ITM says she knew early on that it was about relationships, and the women who went home didn't get that. And I wrote in my notes, maybe they didn't connect with anybody. Like, are there people who were thinking purely strategically and were like, it's not about the money, I'm here, or it's not about love, I'm here purely for the money? Yes, but I also think that some of it is just luck. A lot of these people knew each other going into the house, whether on a friendship level or like they had some romantic interest in each other before going into the house. So it's like, you can't really blame anybody. Like, that's just the luck of the draw. It's not necessarily like the three women that went home were purely playing strategically. Do I think maybe some of them were? Maybe, but Nikki literally chose Kipton based off of a personal relationship. It wasn't romantic, but she had a friendship with Kipton, and that's why she kept him early on and sent Craig home, which was not a strategic decision. So I think it's a little bit too simple and frankly incorrect to say that the women who went home weren't thinking about the personal relationships. I think sometimes it's just luck. These men felt more romantically interested in you than they did these three women, and that's not necessarily because of something they did. Sometimes that's just the way the cookie crumbles. Like, I don't know, it's a little bit odd to say, Natalie. Elizabeth says it's hard saying, in ITM says it's hard saying goodbye to them because not only did they not find money, they didn't find love. Like, okay, a little bit harsh. She then says, literally, I'm sorry, this was like so unserious. She says she could very well be in Gwen's place one day in her 40s hoping to find love again. Like, damn, you didn't have to be that harsh. She was like, they didn't find love or money. And Gwen is like in her 40s still looking for love. Like, that was the whole attitude they had. Like, damn. Anyways, Gwen in her limo exit says that she came on season 2 looking for love and she's still looking for love. People find love at all different ages. And I wrote in my notes, get her on the Golden Bachelorette if she's still single. Like, where's Gwen for the Golden? Actually, she might be a little bit young. She's probably like 10 years too young. I don't know. Because she was like, this was in 2010. And she was like late 30s. So it's been like 14 years. Actually, maybe she's like mid 50s. In a few seasons, she can go on the Golden Bachelorette if she's still single. Not to assume that she's still single. It's just, it's really funny to me. Funny isn't the right word. It's interesting to me the way that age is talked about in this show, because this isn't the only time they comment on Gwen's age. They did it like in an earlier episode, and it also comes up later when they're all kind of brought back in the women tell all, men tell all kind of setting. Like an after the final rose kind of melded with the women tell all live studio audience segment. And it's just interesting to me the way they're talking about Gwen as if she's like so old and like been looking for love forever when like it's just such a like different way that they're talking about age in terms of love. I feel like the Bachelor franchise for as many steps as it's still behind and as many changes I think it still needs to make. I think the Golden Bachelor franchise has really like breathed. I will say the Golden Bachelorette fell kind of flat for me, but I still think it is nice. I think it's lovely to watch. Like, it's just very refreshing after watching this from, like, 2010, where they're talking about, like, a 40-year-old woman as if she is, like, way past her, like, prime and, like, oh, she's still trying to find love. like the way they talk about Gwen, it's very refreshing to, in this day and age in 2024, have like people who are in their 60s and 70s like looking for love and it be talked about in such a beautiful, positive way. Like, I appreciate that the Bachelor franchise has evolved in many ways, and I think this age conversation really emphasizes that to me personally. But anyways, let me move on. Nikki and Ashley both talk about the disadvantage they had coming into the house, not having pre-existing relationships with other people in the house, in their limo exits. The couples say it's bittersweet. They're sad to say goodbye to their friends. Now they're working as couples too, which it's like a new phase of the game. Kovacs and Elizabeth go over everything they know about each other in case that's what the competition is. Elizabeth knows a lot more about Kovacs than he does about her. Like, he did not retain as much about her as she did about him, but who's surprised? I am a Kovacs Elizabeth hater. Elizabeth, that sounds weird. Whatever their ship name is, I'm a hater of them personally. Anyways, the couples are also like excited that they don't have to hide their relationships anymore, like for strategy reasons, because they're all competing as couples now. Tenley and Kipton are like super comfortable in public. Kovacs and Elizabeth specifically is like, now we can embrace our relationship. Like, Kovacs picked me to be in a duo with him. Like, this is great. They're all really happy that they don't have to hide the fact that they're in a relationship for strategy reasons, because now they're all competing as couples. Jessie B is still kind of giving Peyton the ick, and she is like, I'm solely here for the money. And she is a little bit worried that she has a disadvantage because the other couples are more interested in each other romantically, while she is purely interested in getting the money. The competitions are now couples competitions, so they're competing together, and the couple that wins get the roses and the date and safety. Everyone else is then at risk for being voted off and being eliminated. The competition is a water balloon throwing contest, and it's like whoever drops, whichever couple drops the first three water balloons, or like the last couple to drop three water balloons wins. So, like, they're eliminated as they each hit that three water balloon mark, if that made any sense. Jessie B and Peyton are the odd couple out, and she really wants to win because she knows that they're an easy couple to be voted out because they are not aligned with, like, the Kipton, Kovacs, and Dave kind of are more aligned. Jessie B is kind of an outsider, and also Jessie B and Peyton are not a romantic couple in the way the other three are, so she is just worried that they're an easy couple to vote out. Jessie B and Peyton are out first, and she's really upset. The last couple to drop the three water balloons are Natalie and Dave, so they win, they get the rose, and they get safety and a date. Peyton is upset because she blames herself. Jessie comforts her, which is sweet. They're sweet. No romance there, but he's a nice guy. Like, he's a nice guy. He kind of gave her the ick with, like, being a little bit too, like, bro-y. But in terms of, like, being a nice guy, he's a nice guy. He comforts her. He's like, it's a team effort. And she's like, but I was the one who dropped all three balloons. And he's like, I didn't throw well enough. I liked that. I appreciated them. Tenley and Natalie talk about strategy, and they realize that getting Kovacs and Elizabeth out may be better strategically than getting Jessie B and Peyton out. Natalie then comforts Peyton and kind of says something similar to her about, like, don't count yourself out. We're thinking strategically at this point. You might not be as in danger as you think you are. There's a yellow Lamborghini that pulls up into the driveway, and Kovacs and Elizabeth go out, and they're like, oh my god, a yellow Lamborghini. And they make out in it. They're like having a mini little date in this yellow Lamborghini. The yellow Lamborghini is for Dave and Natalie's date. So then eventually Elizabeth and Kovacs go back into the mansion, and they're like, Dave, Natalie, there's a car outside for you. There's a lot of discussions about the vote, where the vote's gonna lie. Again, the girls are thinking more strategically than the guys. The guys are kind of very much in their goal is to kind of stick with the packs they made and the bromance, if you will. One big thing, like one of my biggest takeaways from episode 5 specifically, is that the bromance, like the dudes bonding and their friendships, really Trump's strategy for them. It's like they're not thinking about like what makes the most sense strategically. They're thinking about like their friendships with each other, which I thought was interesting. But anyways, on Dave and Natalie's date, they go to the same mansion where Molly and Jason camped together. I don't remember what season Jason was. I think 13, but I made that up maybe. Jason Mesnick is from Ohio, which I love. Oh my God, I was right. He is season 13. I'm so sorry for doubting myself. Anyways, Jason Mesnick's season, he had a one-on-one date with Molly. They like camped in a tent outside of this mansion, like in the backyard of this mansion. And it was kind of like a pre-fantasy suite. Like they stayed overnight in this tent. If you've never seen The Bachelor and you don't know the Jason Mesnick lore, Jason Mesnick proposed to a woman named Melissa, who, funny enough, is the co-host of this season of Bachelor Pad with Chris Harrison. He proposed to Melissa. They got engaged, and then he broke off the engagement and went back to his runner-up, Molly. Molly and Jason got married. They are still together today, and they have children together and all as well. And he was not the last person to do that. That then happened again, but he was the first. So he was a trailblazer, really. But he and Molly are a success story, although with some bumps in the road. But obviously the fact, it's romantic because it's like, oh, they're together, beautiful. So that's the Molly lore and why they're so excited that they have this date in that same hallowed mansion, because that's romance, you know? It's like walking on Bachelor Nation history. Like me, when I went to the Bachelor Mansion, I'm like, I have to say, I love that Bachelor Pad, it takes place in the mansion, because Paradise, they film it in Mexico, and I've never been to that beach in Mexico, because one time I was going to Mexico, like my family was planning a vacation in Mexico, and me and my sister were like, we should go to that house, to that beach in Mexico. My parents were like, this does not look like it. Like, we didn't end up going to that place in Mexico, but I really did want to go to where they film Paradise, but I've never been. But where I have been is the Bachelor Mansion. True story, I've been there, which is so exciting. Now every season since 2022, because I went September of 2022, they were having an estate sale, and I have a mug that I bought, a mug and some old book that I've literally never read. It's like a vintage-y book. I bought a book and a mug. I use the mug all the time. It's just a plain white mug. I went on like the last day of the estate sale, so most things were like sold, except like really big expensive things. And I didn't bring any, like I brought very little cash, and it was like cash only, and I didn't know. So I like didn't have a lot of money. So I could literally only afford a mug and like a book. Would I have splurged on something else if it was like you could pay with a credit card? Maybe. But I love that mug. I use the mug all the time, genuinely. Anyways, they're excited. I understand the feeling. On this date, they kind of bond. They talk about what they do with the money. He opens up about his parents' divorce. It's a very sweet date. Like, they talk about what they would do with the money. They talk about, like, their past. And it's a nice date. Then they also talk strategy. They disagree about whether they should take Elizabeth and Kovacs. She's worried that they won't beat Kovacs and Elizabeth in the end. And he made a pact with Kovacs, so he's torn. So the Natalie and Dave conflict is what they should do strategically. She does not want to take Elizabeth and Kovacs, and he does not want to betray his pact with Kovacs, and he wants to take Elizabeth and Kovacs because they get to keep somebody safe. I think I forgot to mention that. The couple that wins the competition not only gets to... No, wait, I'm wrong. I made that up. Sorry, that's not true at all. I think that happens later. That might be for the final four. Anyways, moving on. No, it's they have the roses and then everybody else is up for grabs. But obviously they have a vote. So they're talking about what they will do with their vote, not about who they can save. They can't save anybody. They can just decide who not to send home. Anyways, moving on. Kovacs and Elizabeth, back at the mansion, break into the fantasy suite. Congrats to them. It's like, I really don't like the Kovacs and Elizabeth dynamic. And like literally that could be a drinking game. Take a shot every time Emmy says she doesn't like Kovacs and Elizabeth's dynamic. But like, I really do not like their dynamic. I cannot lie. I'm like, why? When Dave and Natalie get back from their date the next morning, they see that Elizabeth and Kovacs went to the fantasy suite together. The boys are kind of goofing off and like, Dave is like super proud of Kovacs for doing that. And they're like just broing out. And Natalie is like mad because she's like, this is getting in the way of my strategy. They are not going, like, he is not going to betray Kovacs, and I need him to because we're not going to get the money if he doesn't. Natalie walks through the strategy with Peyton, and Peyton then appeals to Tenley about keeping her. And the bromance really is the biggest obstacle because the men do not want to do what the women want to do in terms of the votes. Kipton does see the logic, though. Kipton is a little bit, he's not... The pact is really between Kovacs and Dave, so that is, like, the biggest obstacle, although Kipton is kind of, like, friendly with them and all of that, but he's not, like, as deep in the bromance. At the rose ceremony, we find out that they get voted off as a couple, so whichever couple is voted out the most goes home, but they don't vote as a couple. They vote individually, so there are 8 votes instead of 4 votes, which is huge which I think is great because the women have more agency because unfortunately the men were very much going to probably dominate the decisions. And it's nice that they kind of gave the women the ability to vote against what their partners wanted. Kovacs begins to realize that strategically sending him home would be smart and he may be in danger. Kipton in his vote is torn between loyalty and strategy because he does see the logic in sending Kovacs and Elizabeth home, but he wants to be loyal to Kovacs. So he's torn. Dave and Natalie have roses already, so they are not at risk. Kipton and Tenley get the first roses, and then the final roses are between, it's either Elizabeth and Kovacs as a duo getting it, or Peyton and Jesse B. And the final 2 roses go to Elizabeth and Kovacs. And I was throwing tomatoes at my screen. My computer is broken because of all the tomatoes I threw at it. I'm kidding. But it was just like a little bit annoying and predictable. But anyways, so Jesse B and Peyton go home. They gave it a fair chance. Good for them, I guess. And the 6 that are left, they call themselves the Super 6. Which like, okay, Big Brother 6 ripoff, the Sovereign 6, I see you. Peyton in her limo exit says that she felt like she was on the outside. And then she ended up like kind of with the group of cool kids, but she was still on the outside and it was hard for her. And that's how episode 5 ends. So going into the final episode, the final 6 are 3 couples, Dave, Natalie, Kovacs, Elizabeth, and Kenley and Tipton. Tenley and Kipton. Sorry about that. So episode 6, Dave is feeling good because of his pact with Kovacs. He thinks that he's a shoo-in for the final 4 regardless. Natalie feels bad because she thinks they made a mistake getting rid of Peyton and Jesse B. Dave knows he and Natalie have to win the competition because if not, they may be at risk. And then, the next day, Chris Harrison comes in. He gives his little pre-competition speech and he says that it's the most important competition yet. A win in this competition guarantees you a spot in the final 4. It will test their chemistry as a couple. And we find out that it's a ballroom dancing competition. Kipton is not feeling good because he's not a good dancer. Tenley has a ballet background, so she's feeling good and better than he is. But obviously, it's very much about a partnership. And in ballroom dancing, the man tends to lead. So they are a little bit worried. Elizabeth does not like to dance, but she wants to win, so she's willing to. And she thinks the competition will bring her and Kovacs closer together. They're down to the Super 6, as I said before. That's what they call themselves. And Kipton is worried because he does not want to let Tenley down. This is like her thing. She's good at dancing and he doesn't want to be the reason they fail. Elizabeth tells Kovacs going into, they're in the limo going to meet the trainer. Elizabeth tells Kovacs that if the trainer is a woman, he needs to still focus on her, not on the trainer. And it's like, why are you guys together? Do you even like each other? They really drive me crazy. I'm sorry. I'm sorry to be such a hater. Like, individually, I wish them the best. They are clearly not meant for each other, and it's annoying to watch, but, you know, I think they're in their 20s when this was being filmed, so it's been over a decade now. I hope that they're doing well in happy relationships, not with each other. Also, apparently, they have, like, 6 months of history. I don't know if they mentioned that early on, and I just missed it in my notes, but somebody said in the last episode 5, I don't remember who said it, but that they had been dating for like 6 months. I knew that they had like some kind of history, like they knew each other, but somebody said that they had been dating for 6 months. I don't think they were boyfriend and girlfriend, but I think they had probably like pursued each other romantically on and off, I guess, for 6 months. I don't really know. Anyways, they all go meet their choreographers, and the choreographers are from Dancing with the Stars, which is super exciting. Dave is fine dancing with their male choreographer because he wants to win. Slay, Dave. Congrats. Like, he does not care at all. He's like, I'm fine embracing my feminine side. He's like dancing with their male choreographer. Super slay. Love that for you, Dave. Meanwhile, Elizabeth and Kovacs have a female choreographer, and she's jealous about the choreographer touching Kovacs. She's like, he's dancing more with her than he is with me. Pack it up. Okay. We get it. I mean, you don't like them. Move on. Again, nothing against them individually. They're dynamic. I'm like, you do not like each other enough. Find other people. Okay. This part cracked me the fuck up. So Dave and Natalie's choreographer asks if they have sex. And they're like, they don't want to say whether they have sex because that's weird. Why are you asking? And then he says that they should dance as if they've had sex, like as if they're having sex. And I, like, literally the only thing I could think of was, if you've ever watched Glee, when they're doing West Side Story and Blaine is like, you guys need to have sex. Or no, wait. Oh my God. It's not Blaine. Artie tells Blaine and Rachel. I knew the Rachel was involved, but like Artie tells them that they need to have sex. He's like, you guys, there's no sexual, you know, whatever. I'm like, literally pack it up. What is this, Glee? He's like, dance as if you were like having sex with each other. It was so unserious. Anyways, they're done with their rehearsals with the choreographers. They have like an hour at the mansion before the performance to get dressed, rehearse one last time. Chris Harrison, there's like a little dance floor right outside of the Bachelor Mansion. Little table set up for the judges, and Chris Harrison announces that they're being judged on performance, chemistry, and effort. So even if they don't perform as well as they want to, the effort and the chemistry will still play a part. So just do the best they can. The couple that wins gets an automatic spot in the final four, and they get to pick the couple they're competing against. So this is what I got confused about when I was talking about the elimination last episode. So they themselves individually, which I guess makes sense, they not only are safe, but they get to eliminate a couple and take a couple to the finals. So it's a huge, huge win, because not only are you guaranteed a spot in the final four as one of the final two couples, you also then get to decide who you're competing against, basically. The judges are Melissa, who has been the co-host, of this season so far. She also apparently got final three on Dancing with the Stars, which I did not know, but congratulations to Melissa. And then Jake Pavelka, who was also on Dancing with the Stars, apparently. Tenley was on his season, so she's a little bit nervous when he comes out, but they didn't have beef. It's not like it was like Vienna. Because if you do not know, this is actually like iconic Bachelor Nation lore. And Jake Pavelka, I think that's how you say his last name, he got engaged to a woman, and they had, like, they broke up. It was written about in the tabloids. It was a very dramatic breakup. And then not only did they break up, they did, like, a special breakup, like, episode where Chris Harrison, like, interviewed them about their breakup and the fallout. I think that's the only time in Bachelor Nation history that's ever happened. But if you see the clips of their dynamic, absolutely bonkers insane. Like, that whole breakup episode, it was so tense. It was so uncomfortable to watch. So at least it's not like she was the one. Like, Tenley didn't end up on bad terms from everything I know. Like, Tenley was a sweetheart on his season or something. Like, she's fine, but I understand why she'd be a little bit nervous. But it's not like you ended poorly with Jake. And if you did, you did not end as badly as he did with Vienna. So you're fine. And then the final judge is Trista Sutter, who was the first Bachelorette. And I think she was also on Dancing with the Stars. So all three of them are from the Bachelor franchise and have also been on Dancing with the Stars. Tenley and Kipton go first. They are dancing a foxtrot. Tenley's great. Kipton does really well too. They fall at the end, but like they play it off well. Like it was on purpose. I didn't even pick up that it was like they fell on accident until in ITMs, they talk about how they fell. Like, it seemed very, like, choreographed and, like, funny and great. They played it off really well. Melissa gives them an 8. Then Jake gives them a 9. Trista gives them a 9. So they got 26 points total. So that is the number to beat. Kovacs and Elizabeth go next. And it is so awkward. They're dancing the rumba. And it's definitely not as good as Tenley and Kipton. I'm also a hater of their dynamic, but it's just awkward. There's no energy. There's no passion. I really do not like it. Like, you know that squeaky shoes sound or whatever? That's how I felt watching it. I'm like, pack it up. Like, God, I'm such a hater. I'm sorry, but they flopped. I'm not going to lie. Melissa gives them an 8. Jake gives them an 8. And he says, I could tell that you guys were dating. And then Trista gives them an 8 too. So the total for them was 24 points. They are no longer in the running to win. Kipton and Tenley still have the score to beat, which was 26, if you recall. Natalie and Dave then go. They need to beat 26 points to win. They're good. They dance really well. The chemistry's really good. While I was watching it, I was like, okay, Tenley and Kipton have some competition. And then at the end, they kind of mess up, and instead of playing it off well like Kipton and Tenley do, they kind of were like, damn it, we messed up. Like, oh, we were doing so well. Like, they kind of get upset at the fact that they messed up, which I feel may have sank them. But alas, it was a good choice in order of where they went, because we had like the team that I thought was going to do the best because of Tenley's background, and also Kipton and Tenley just seem like the most solid couple romantically, so I felt like maybe that would lend itself to a good partnership in terms of dancing. So they were the couple that I was like thinking were going to be the best, and then Elizabeth and Kovacs were not that good, and then we ended with like, okay, maybe they have some competition. It was a good order choice. I don't know if I hit a stuffed animal next to me and I thought it was one of my foster kittens because there were like always a million cats on me. Anyways, it was a good order because it was like, okay, maybe they have some competition. So Melissa gives them a 9. Jake gives them an 8. So they need a 10 to beat Tenley and Kipton. Oh my God, why do I keep doing that? Tenley and Kipton. Or they need a 9 to tie with Tenley and Kipton. Trista gives them an 8, so they are at 25 points, just 1 point shy, and Tenley and Kipton take the win. And this is actually a very exciting outcome because Kovacs and Dave have a pact, so if one of them won, it was going to be obvious who the other couple was going to be. But this is a little bit more up in the air. It's like, who will Tenley and Kipton choose? They're kind of loyal to either of them. Like, it could go either way. It was a little bit exciting there for a little while. It was like, who will they pick? Elizabeth and Kovacs are upset. They are still hoping they'll be taken to the final somehow. Dave and Natalie are upset they failed at the end and kind of, you know what? I understand that because they were doing really well and they kind of just fell off at the end. But you know what? That's okay. Elizabeth says this experience brought her and Kovacs closer together, and without it, they may not be where they are, and she fears that if they go home, their fairy tale will end. I hate to break it to you. If going home it breaks you up, you are not in a real relationship. But honestly, they weren't, so like, I can't help but be a hater. You know what, though? I really think that I feel a little bit mean being such a hater of their dynamic, but I feel like less of a, like, bad about it because I know for a fact, I don't know this for a fact, but I feel like if Elizabeth, like, revisited the show now at whatever age she is now, like, 10 years after this aired, almost 15 years after this aired, I really think she would look back and be like, oh, Kovacs and I were not meant to be. Like, he was an asshole. So I feel less bad because I'm really not insulting either of them individually. I'm just saying that they don't like each other as a couple and they were not meant to be a couple. And I don't think either of them would deny that. Honestly, even, like, very soon after filming the show, let alone, like, now 10 years later, I don't feel like I'm being that much of a hater in that I'm like really don't like their dynamic because it's not about them personally. I'm just like, this is not meant to be. And you know what? It wasn't. So anyways, Natalie asks Tenley what her thought process is. And Tenley doesn't really give a very solid answer. She's like, it's hard because you don't want to send a friend home. But also it's getting you a step closer to 250K and like this, that, and the other, yada, yada, yada. But she does say in ITMs that she wants to keep Natalie and Dave. So it looks like they're going to be good. Kovacs appeals to Kipton and says basically that he and Elizabeth are comp flops. He's like, Dave and Natalie have won a lot more. Elizabeth and I, you probably have a better chance against. Which, you know what? Fair appeal. As much as I'm anti-Kovacs and Elizabeth, I do think their lack of je ne sais quoi may have benefited Kipton and Tenley. But who knows? Let's move on. At the rose ceremony, Dave and Natalie get the roses. So Kovacs and Elizabeth are going home. Elizabeth is vanquished. I'm so sorry to them. Nothing against them individually. Kipton in ITM says he hopes that Elizabeth and Kovacs, that this isn't the end for them and that what they had does continue and is a real relationship. And it's like, that's so wholesome of you, Kipton. You are wrong, but alas. Elizabeth in her limo exit says she hopes that the experience has changed Kovacs and that they'll be together someday. That this was like a step in them being a couple. Kovacs says in his exit interview that it's funny because he went on The Bachelorette hoping to find a relationship. And he didn't find that, but then he went on Bachelor Pad looking for money and ended up finding a relationship. And so the final four is Tenley and Kipton and Dave and Natalie. Chris Harrison announces that they're done at the mansion and the finale will be in front of a live studio audience. And it is months later. So this, I did not know how the dynamic was going to be. I figured that because of the way I just saw the six episodes and the final episode said like, oh, a winner is crowned. I didn't think that there was going to be some kind of reunion because I thought it was all filmed at once and it didn't look like there was like an after the final rose type segment. But the way it happens was, I don't know the amount of the time difference. I mean, The Bachelor typically like a turnover is like a few months. So I feel like at most probably it was like 2 months after they finished recording. Obviously some time has passed because there are some changes. Like Elizabeth is now a brunette. Melissa, the co-host, is a little bit pregnant. She wasn't pregnant. At least she wasn't like publicly saying she was pregnant at the filming of show. But there is kind of like a reunion style thing, which is I did like and appreciate the way that happened. I didn't know that was going to happen. But anyways, we're back in front of a live studio audience. Melissa is pregnant now. Congratulations to Melissa. The rest of the past contestants are here in the audience. Also, they're voting on which couple makes it to the end, like the final two. Elizabeth and Kovacs, we get updates on everything that's happened since filming wrapped. Elizabeth and Kovacs are not together. She calls him a player. He says that he went on for the competition, but he never lied to her. He wanted a casual relationship. She didn't. They didn't really pan out. And again, who's surprised? Not me. He says, God, he's just not nice to her. I really don't like him. At some point, he says she's making things up in her head. He's sorry she feels that way, like, about their dynamic. I really don't like him and them as a couple. And you know what? Again, this is why I'm like, I don't feel bad for being such a hater of their dynamic, because I'm sure Elizabeth is like, he sucked. We were not meant to be together. Whatever. So alas, let me move on. And this is why I'm like thinking now. Actually, I'll get to it later. Sorry. Chris Harrison talks to them about strategy, the outsiders versus the insiders. Gia talks about Craig's elimination and Chris Harrison is like, you made an emotional choice. And she's like, well, it was more of a moral choice because I won thanks. She's like, at that point, it wasn't really because I liked Wes. It was because I won thanks to him and I didn't want, like, it was repaying him. Then they're asked about the attraction between Wes and Gia. Gia's not in a relationship anymore. Wes says that he was not interested in a relationship. He was playing purely strategically, but he obviously developed feelings for her. He mentions the kissing competition and how he really wanted to kiss her, but she kind of pulled away. They kiss. It's sweet. They seem to be, they're cute. I said in my last episode that I did not know the trajectory of everything that happened after Gia did pass away. And I think I mistakenly said that she was with the boyfriend She was in a different relationship when she passed away. Just to correct myself, the relationship that she had while she was on Bachelor Pad, that was not the boyfriend who she was with when she passed away. I just wanted to clarify that. Gia makes a fantasy suite joke, and Chris Harrison, in response, makes a joke about choosing to forego the studio. It was funny. I appreciate that. Then Chris Harrison says that Wes had an interesting trajectory. He went from the self-proclaimed most hated man in America to a modern day Shakespeare to now in love with Gia, which I did not know that he was like self-proclaimed most hated man in America. I have no idea. Honestly, Wes's face was one that seemed familiar to me. Like Tenley seemed familiar. I feel like I could point her out and say that her name was Tenley. I don't know if I could have like named Wes, but his face did look familiar to me. But anyways, I'm glad that he had a bit of a redemption arc. I mean, I say that, I don't know what he did on his season to make himself the most hated man in America. So maybe I don't. Then the final two couples come out. It's Kipton and Tenley. I didn't need to repeat that. Anyways, Kipton, we get updates on them. Kipton and Tenley are boyfriend and girlfriend. I looked it up. They dated for 2.5 years after the show. So that's good for The Bachelor. That's like a good amount of time for a bachelor relationship. Obviously, they did not get married and are not together today, but they are a couple that came out of this show, I guess, and lasted a good amount for The Bachelor franchise. So that answers another question I had about if any couples came out of the show. Dave and Natalie are pursuing things slowly, long distance, not firmly boyfriend and girlfriend. Also, based off of everything I saw, I don't think that they dated like officially after the show. Definitely not as solid as Tenley and Kipton, but they are not like, we are not, they don't hate each other like Elizabeth and Kovacs. So maybe Elizabeth and Kovacs would have been a better choice because maybe Elizabeth and Kovacs would, less people would want to vote for them because they hate each other now. Anyways, let me just keep going. We find out that the other contestants vote for the couple that will be like the final couple, and they can vote on any criteria, personal strategy, anything. There's kind of a jury roundtable questioning segment, if you will. Natalie and Dave are asked about their relationship, and he says that they're not on the same level as Tenley and Kipton. Why would he say that? I would not vote for him if he said that. I would be like, this is a bachelor thing. I want to vote for the couple that's most in love. But I guess he said any criteria. So I don't know. But obviously it's not the same, but it's like being in the final two and being like, obviously I didn't do as much as the person against me. Like, why would you say that? Jesse S. says she thinks that he's doing it to get ahead. He doesn't think that they're interested in each other. Like, it's purely strategy on Dave's end. Chrisley is still mad at Dave. She says that she does realize she wasn't really lied to because things just changed at the last minute. And when she left, she kind of thought that she was being lied to the whole time when it was actually a last minute decision. But she still is upset that he didn't give her the heads up and asks why. And he says he didn't see the point. Like, it was really last minute. He's like, I didn't want you to be upset. Like, right at the end when you're like about to be sent home, it was like literally crunch time. Like, I was going to tell you like what 1 minute before you found out, like it didn't make sense. He apologizes. It's not that good of an apology, but I kind of see his point. Like, it's not, I also understand where Chrisley's coming from because it does suck. And obviously when you just get blindsided like that, it does feel like, oh, they were lying to me the whole time. Now with hindsight, her being like, obviously they didn't lie to me. It was just kind of things changed at the last minute. I understand both sides because it's like, it was very crunch time, last second decision. So it's like, when was he going to tell her? Like literally right before she found out from Chris Harrison. I think her point is it would have still been better to hear it from him. I see both sides, but I'm defending Chrisley because Dave kind of rubs me the wrong way. Gotta be honest. Chris Harrison asks Peyton about Kipton's lie about his feelings for Tenley, because if you recall, Peyton chose Kipton to go on a group date and she asked him about where he stood with Tenley, and he said that they were not involved romantically. And then in ITMs in the episode, he said, I kind of lied, I am interested in Tenley romantically. And Peyton says she was shocked, and he clarifies that it really only became real for him with Tenley after that, so he wasn't really lying. I would be interested to see. I did not pick up on, if you hear noise in the background, my foster kittens are like playing with each other and I really can't get them to stop. And I'm sorry about that. I've tried many times. Anyways, what I was saying is I would be interested to see if the background of that ITM was particularly different. Like, was it at the mansion where it could have like been recorded later? Because if you don't know on The Bachelor, and I think they do this on a lot of shows, the confessional isn't always taken the same day. So it'd be interesting for me to try to figure out if that confessional was recorded like the same day, or if there was some distance and he had different feelings for Tenley when they asked him about it later. I don't know, because I part of me does think he was kind of lying. Obviously, he wasn't like really in a thing with Tenley until they went on a date together, but I do think he very much like completely downplayed his feelings for Tenley. Instead of being like, I'm kind of interested, but we're not really together, he very much was like, no, I don't even know if we're compatible. Which I don't think he felt. Like, I don't think he suddenly, when they went on a date, was like, oh, wait, we are compatible. You know what I mean? Anyways, he says he wasn't really lying. And then Gia says, but you said early on that you'd never vote for Tenley. So, like, if it wasn't romantic, what do you mean? And he's like, well, Gia says that he said early on that he'd never vote for Tenley, though. So, like, what was that about? And he's like, well, I knew Tenley going into the house. We had a friendship. And then Gia asks what the difference was then for him between Tenley and Nikki, because he chose Tenley instead of Nikki. And Gia's kind of like, Nikki's the reason that you were there in the first place, standing up for Nikki and him not returning the favor. And then Nikki addresses that and she says it did hurt, but she knew what he was going to do. And again, I think at that point he did have feelings for Tenley. It made sense to me. I think, for example, I don't know if he would have won the dance competition if he had done it with Nikki, not just because I don't know if Nikki has the same background, but because he was more comfortable with Tenley, so their chemistry made more sense. His chemistry was better with Tenley, so I don't know. Michelle and Tenley's bathroom confrontation from one of the early episodes comes up, and Michelle talks about the rumor. Tenley apologizes. Michelle isn't really willing to accept it. The crowd boos at Michelle. It's very dramatic. I don't really know whose side I'm on. We didn't really see it very clearly, so I don't really know. It's hard. It's hard for me to say. I don't really know. I feel like I was a little bit sour on Tenley there for a little bit. And like, now I feel fine about Tenley. I have not that I didn't like Tenley, but like in the Michelle Tenley dynamic, it did feel kind of like Tenley was instigating and then got upset that Michelle was like, why are you instigating? So I was more on Michelle's side in that regard. But alas, then Wes and Dave's like beef kind of comes up. They hash it out and Wes says, apparently I didn't pick up on this, but Wes was kind of upset because he and Dave had like a friendship and he felt really like they were not seeing eye to eye, and that the game was coming in between of like this real friend was coming in between this real friendship they had. Wes at the end of the day says that it's fine. He doesn't need $250K. He has $1 million right here. And he points to Gia. Really sweet. Makes me sad. Wes and Gia were not I also looked this up. They dated for a little bit outside of the house as well. Not as long as Tenley and Kipton. Like, they were not that, like, solid of a couple. But they did, like, date a little bit after the show. She was with somebody else when she passed away. But because when I looked it up, he was interviewed. Like, he like, gave a quote after she passed away. And with that conversation, the jury round table, no, I'm kidding. But with that, like, with addressing that, that's kind of where it ends. And after the commercial break, they get to give their final speeches, if you will. Dave and Natalie go first. Natalie kind of appeals first. She says that she had so much fun. She forgot that they were even competing for money a lot of the times because she was just having so much fun. But she hopes she played fair. She mentions that she's in debt, which she talked about with Dave on their date outside of the mansion where Molly and Jason, like that, the Molly and Jason mansion. She mentioned that she was in debt and she wanted to help her debt. And she also says she wants to start a charity for prostate cancer because her father recently just survived that. She wants to do something special for her parents and just be more comfortable financially. Which is fair, because when you're in debt, student loan debt and stuff like that, it obviously impacts your financial situation. Dave says he thinks he played as honest and fair as he could. He asks Jesse B, then he points Jesse B out in the crowd and is like, did I not tell you, like, what did I tell you the day that you were going home? And Jesse's like, that I was going home. He's like, you were honest with me. And that's kind of like what he's saying to point it out. He says he also hopes that he and Natalie brought the comic relief. He is not asking for votes because that's not his style, but the vote that would mean the most to him is getting Wes's vote because they were friends before and he doesn't want things to be bad between him and Wes, which is kind of sweet. Then Gwen brings up the fact she overheard Dave say, and she's like, I know you didn't think I was in your shot, but I overheard you say that if you're in your 30s in the house, you're a loser. And she's like, and I took issue with that. Juan also took issue with that because he's like 37. Dave does not handle this well. He kind of doubles down on the fact that he thinks going on a dating show in your 30s is like not something he would want to do. And it's kind of like weird. And Gwen is like, well, this is a competition show. I was here for money, not necessarily for love. It's not a dating show necessarily. And he says, sorry, it was just my opinion. Like, he does a horrible job handling this. And again, this is kind of like nice to see how much the culture and the conversation around age has changed. Then Kipton and Tenley go next, appealing to the group. Tenley says, first, she says it's an honor. She says she played as true to her character as she could. It was an uncomfortable environment for her. She says that she thinks people probably wouldn't think she needs the money, but she lost her home before coming on. It's not a sob story, but it was a rough time. She was in a marriage that she thought would last forever, and her parents kind of invested in a house for her and her husband. I did not know Tenley was previously married. I did not know that, but I'm sure that was something that was talked about on her season of The Bachelor. And losing her home brought her parents down too. She wants to repay her parents, but will also have some fun with the money. Kipton thanks them, says he almost didn't go on the show. He made a commitment that if he won, he'd give 20% to charity. He'll have fun with it, but he'll pay it forward. Then Juan says that they're voting for couples, and he feels like Kipton's played with integrity. Dave and Natalie played hard and won competitions. He loves Tenley, but he doesn't understand how she individually got to that point. He kind of questions if she earned that position and kind of implies that she was carried. Very interesting question on Juan's behalf. Jesse S. kind of defends Tenley and says she didn't coast to the end. She did well in competitions, the pie eating one, for example. She won the dancing one and the questionnaire one. Like, she carried her weight. And that's kind of where the questioning ends. A couple needs 8 votes to win. Greg votes first and he votes for Kipton and Tenley. Then the weatherman, Jonathan, the weatherman, votes next. He votes for Kipton and Tenley, so they're at 2. Jessie S. votes next, and she votes for Dave and Natalie. Priscilla then votes for Dave and Natalie, so right now they're tied. Peyton votes for Dave and Natalie. Jessie B. votes for Dave and Natalie. So now it's 4-2. Juan votes for Kipton and Tenley. Gwen votes for Kipton and Tenley. And then Ashley, so now they're tied again. Then Ashley votes for Dave and Natalie. Michelle votes for Dave and Natalie. Nikki votes for Dave and Natalie, and now they're at 7 votes, 7-4, and it's Wes's vote. Wes votes for Dave and Natalie, which is the 8th vote they needed to win, and the vote that Dave wanted the most, which is very poetic that they had him go last. To be honest, I did not see that coming at the beginning. When we found out the final 4, I thought, well, Kipton and Tenley are a more solid couple. They're probably going to win. They did well in the competitions. They won the last one. Like, I thought Kipton and Tenley were going to be the couple that was voted to the finals. I was surprised by that. And it really kind of, it was interesting to me because I was rooting for Kipton and Tenley to send Elizabeth and Kovacs home. But it made me wonder, I really feel like they probably would have won had they picked Elizabeth and Kovacs, because Elizabeth and Kovacs were not particularly liked in the same way that I think Dave and Natalie were. And also they were just not like compare. Like, I feel like they would have had a better shot against Elizabeth and Kovacs. I feel like Elizabeth and Kovacs had more enemies. They were not solid at all. I feel like they probably would have gotten a lot of questions about like, why should we vote for you guys? You're not a couple. I don't know. I was surprised that Dave and Natalie were the couple that were voted. And it also made me wonder if Kipton and Tenley made a mistake. But you know what? They lasted for like 2.5 years after as a couple. So they got something out of the show as well. Anyways, Natalie and Dave are now in the final 2. But that doesn't mean that they both get the money. Because the way a winner is crowned is their relationship will be put to the test. They each individually either select keep or share. If they both pick share, they share the money. They split it evenly. If one picks keep, but the other person picks share, the person who picked keep keeps all of the money, takes all 250K. If they both pick keep, neither gets the money and it'll be evenly split among the rest of the contestants. Dave and Natalie go into separate rooms to deliberate, and the audience, not the audience, the rest of the contestants kind of talk about what they think is going to happen. Kovacs thinks that Dave will pick share. Gia says it's bad if one of them picks keep and the other doesn't, like it's kind of selfish. Nikki says Natalie could go either way because Natalie does very often just do what would be best for her. Elizabeth says anyone who gets there as a couple, you'd want to share because you did that together. And Kovacs says, why should it change the relationship if one person picks keep and the other doesn't, which is kind of funny. Imagine Elizabeth and Kovacs in the finals. That would be insane. Anyways, moving on. Wes says that if it was him and Gia, he'd obviously pick share because he wants what's best for Gia. Then Dave and Natalie are done picking. They are brought out. Dave goes first and he chooses share. And Natalie is being very shifty. She's like, can I say something before I reveal? And the audience is like oohing and awing. And it's like, oh my God, did she pick keep? And then Natalie reveals that she was just messing with everybody. She picked share too. They get to share the money. And that's how Bachelor Pad season one ends. From everybody who's been involved with this one or whatever Chris Harrison used to say at the end, take care of, I don't know. He's like, for everyone who's been a part of this one, I'm Chris Harrison, whatever. It's not as good as Love One Another. I'll give Julie Chen Moonves her flowers on that one. But that's where it ends. Great season. 10 out of 10 recommend. I do eventually want to watch seasons 2 and 3. I don't know if I want to watch them right now because I kind of want to save it to talk about on the podcast if there's ever a moment where I'm kind of between shows like I was for this. But this was so fun to cover. I hope you enjoyed it. I hope anybody who watched the show years ago and is watching and is listening to this now and is like revisiting the show through this podcast enjoyed it. I hope anybody who watched it for the first time enjoyed it. Honestly, if you're not watching the show at all and you just wanted to listen to me talk for like hours, thanks for that as well. If you enjoyed the episode, please feel free to follow me wherever you listen to podcasts so you can get notified when I upload a new episode. Subscribe on YouTube if you're listening to this on YouTube. Next episode will either be about the sex lives of college girls or just a mishmash of a bunch of shows, but probably the sex lives of college girls. I just got to do the math on that one, like how many episodes there are going to be, like how long it'll last if I'll like go into the traders. Honestly, maybe worst case scenario, if it overlaps a little bit with the coverage of the traders, I'll just try to maybe do like 2 episodes 1 week or something. I don't know. I'll figure it out. I can manage. Anyways, sorry about all the kitten noise in the background. Thanks for tuning in. It does mean a lot. You'll hear from me next week. Thank you so much.